I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens.
Now shut up.
Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
And our guest this week, oh boy, so excited.
Actor, improviser, you know her from Just Roll With It and Drunk History, it's Susie Barrett.
Yay.
Hello.
Thank you. Very Thank well you. Done, Susie. Wow. You're the first one who tried to do
what
that.
A pro.
The first one who stepped on our toes and stole our catchphrase. Good job.
Okay, well, this has been fun, Susie. Thanks for coming by.
We're talking about games.
Yeah.
You've hosted games, devised, planned, created, written.
Yeah, all of those things.
All those words.
scavenger hunts.
Yeah.
What do you think like makes like a good, well, what maybe essential, what sparked this passion?
What sparked this passion is a film called Midnight Madness.
Okay, okay.
Dare
okay.
I call it a film?
You can.
It's a videotaped romp.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this movie Midnight Madness used to play on HBO a lot when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I watched it a lot and I loved it, and it's garbage. But it's the central premise of the movie is this like college brainiac devises this all night treasure hunt for people in his college to play, and they break up into teams and they solve clues. And I was obsessed with it as a kid, and then when I grew up and was in Chicago, I was like, I could do one of those. I could make mm-hmm. my own Midnight Madness.
Yeah.
And thus began a 20-year journey. I've made, I think, 15 or 16 hunts at this point.
Wow.
Burning Man, which were the biggest. That was the biggest challenge.
Oh, wow. Wow. I bet that was crazy.
That was crazy. One in Chicago, 3 or 4 in Amsterdam, a bunch here, a few at Burning Man. Yeah.
How long does it take you to like create like a scavenger hunt? What do you call it? Scavenger hunt?
I call it a treasure hunt.
Treasure hunt.
Here's the difference. A scavenger hunt will be like, you have to find this list of things.
Okay.
A treasure hunt is what more like what this movie is, which is you get a clue, you have to solve it as a team. That leads you to a location. You find
another clue.
So clues and challenges more than just like take a picture of yourself with these 10 people or find these 10 items. How long does it take? The ones that I did here, the Odyssey, those took a couple of months each. Those are pretty involved.
Yours were also a lot harder than what they do in the movie.
Sometimes. Well, also, yeah, the movie's weird. The movie is very, a lot of those are so unsolvable, but because it's a movie, right. It's like, oh, I've got it.
I know.
Yeah. It must be an anagram.
I did it twice, I think. And I remember the first time we were like in the middle of the pack, had a great time. But the first time we knew we were in the lead very early on, and it was so much more stressful.
Oh.
Like when you're just in the middle or the last, you're like, whatever, we're just having fun. Let's just figure out a puzzle. But when you're in the lead, you're like, oh, like I didn't. We could win this.
We could win.
This could happen. So then you have this like pressure to like maintain that position. But then we won and it was great.
Yeah. What year was that? Or what was the, do you remember what any of the,
we had to go to the Batman cave.
Oh yeah. That was the hardest year.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
You won the hardest year.
Yeah. I think we had like a 30 minute before the next team showed up.
That's amazing.
It was really fun, but it is like, I'm like not competitive when it comes to like, you know, sports or anything like that, but when it's like, you know, knowledge or solving a puzzle or like a debate, I'm like, oh well, I gotta win this thing,
right?
You know, like I feel like
my ego's on the line.
Yeah. And you had like people like actors like posing, like we had to go in and like you know, interact with like characters. Yeah. And like we would not like in the movie, they like destroy places they visit,
right?
We were all very respectful and terrified to interact with anybody.
Yeah, you have to make a lot of concessions to the real life version, like like we need to follow all the laws. Like that's the other thing, is like, you don't want people to speed in their cars, but right. How do you tell people not to do that? You know, it's a race.
Mm-hmm. Right,
you want people to be safe. That was always the most nerve-wracking thing for me. It was like, are we gonna do something that gets us kicked out of a business in the middle of the hunt and then other people can't go in, you know?
right, yeah.
Or is somebody going to be unsafe, or is there going to be an accident? That was always a fear of mine. But never any problems, no.
Yay.
Yeah, very few.
Have you ever had, so this movie takes place in Los Angeles. Have any of your spots in your Odysseys been in spots that were in the movie?
No. The closest... closest would be they go to the observatory. The uh-huh. Batcave is sort of in that realm.
Sure.
But we never did that. Funny thing.
Okay.
So the starting line in the movie is at the Hollywood Tower,
yep.
which is at the bottom of Argyle, which is the street I live on.
Oh.
So every morning I do my walk and I see the Hollywood Tower. And
is that why you chose that apartment?
I mean, it was, I'm not going to lie, it was like,
it was in the mix.
I took it as an omen. Like, I was like, oh, this is the best omen. And then I loved the apartment. So I was like, okay, that's a done deal. But, you know, like I'll send my brother a picture sometimes, like, I'm walking by Leon's place. And my job now shoots at LA Center Studios downtown, and the view as I walk into my dressing room is of the Bonaventure Hotel,
which
is the finish line.
Yeah.
So my commute begins at the starting line and ends at the finish line every single day.
Wow.
Isn't that bizarre?
That is weird.
And then you fall into a vat of Pabst Blue Ribbon right in the middle. Well, should we get into it?
Yeah, I guess so. Let's get into
John,
it.
John, tell us a little bit about this movie.
Okay, so Midnight Madness is a 1980 comedy written and directed by Michael Nankin and David Wechter.
Uh-huh.
All right. It was produced by Disney, although their name does not appear in the credits. It stars David Naughton, Stephen Furst, and in his first film, Michael J. Fox. Also, a cameo by Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee-wee Herman. And his five teams of college kids compete in the Great All-Nighter, a scavenger hunt that takes them all over Los Angeles. The film lost Disney $5.5 million, but it did gain a cult following when it began airing on HBO. Yeah, I saw, like you, I this was one of those things, I don't know if HBO still programs like this, but it used to be like the same movie every afternoon for like months. And so I saw this movie, I don't know how many times. It was just one of those movies that was on. You're just like, okay, I can sort of watch this.
Yeah. It seems to, they sort of have a similar model now. Like when I go on the app, it'll be like When I go on the app now, it'll be like movies that are about to go away or what. So they do have blocks of movies that come and go. And this may have been like that. It would like have a, it would have a couple months and then it would disappear for a year and then it would come back for a month.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I just couldn't get enough of it.
How many times do you think you've seen it?
I mean, dozens.
Like it's impossible, especially when you consider like the half times you've probably seen it. Like for me,
right. As a kid, you want to show friends certain scenes, or you want to rewind one part and watch it, you know. But start to finish, probably 20 times.
Wow, yeah. I had seen it before, like as a kid, and I remember the things. The only thing I remember, like the puzzles, and I remember the color coding, like how every team is where's a
the white team, the yellow team.
You mean like that? And they all have like a fun vehicle. Like, wouldn't you know, the big meathead football team, they're in the smallest car.
Called the meat wagon.
The meat wagon. They're piled into a little
VW bug. One thing I love about that is that whenever the guy who's driving, like, is reading the clue, he holds his hand outside of the car and reads it outside.
It's a good detail. It's
weird, though, that there's this race is like, there's really no stakes to it. There's no prize.
Right.
It's just, it's just win. Ego. It's just pure ego. These people don't even have, I guess they have mild rivalries. Like, then there's a nerd team.
Right.
Led by the wonderful Eddie Deason.
The wonderful.
The wonderful.
I call him wonderful. What would you call him?
He was great.
He's great.
Yeah. Also in Greece.
Watching the movie, I rewatched it last night, and I was like, everyone's such a good clown. There's so many good physical bits in that movie. Like when they throw the tomato at Eddie Deason's face and he like leans into it as it's coming and catches it. And it, like, it's really, it's stunning.
It's like
comedy.
A great, it's a good sketch comedy movie.
Mm.
Like I think like this, we were watching it yesterday too. And like the structure of it, I think is really good. Like I think it's structured well. It's just a lot of the comedy bits are just very basic or bad.
Yeah.
Or like for kids.
It's from like an era I remember, like it's like Cannonball Run or like any Burt Reynolds comedy where things were like very slapsticky and it would be the height of hilarity when someone falls into a pool. But there's a big emphasis on women's boobs.
Yes.
So it's a weird like
movie.
It's for children. Like the humor is very low brow, but then it's also TNA obsessed.
Yeah, it's teaching 5-year-olds to be misogynist.
that's the
angle. Way to go, Disney.
You did it.
In a Disney movie.
Yeah.
I had a film school teacher in a film school, a directing teacher, and we had to make like a project, and this one guy at the end of it made like he like broke all the rules, like he shot outside. You weren't supposed to do that. We're supposed to just use the set. And in the end he put his he said produced by Francine Parker, like in the end, and then you just heard in the dark, "Take my name off of it." So I thought of Disney in this movie.
And he said it through a giant 3-foot megaphone. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Francine Parker. Well, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a very elaborate Byzantine scoring system in which we will find it. Let me quickly recap where we are at.
Great.
I'll do our top five. And these are, this is the percentage of total possible points, because every week it gets more points are possible. So this is their percentage. Number five, Sleepaway Camp, 50.70%.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Scream, 51.95%. Beetlejuice, 53.75%. Number two, 9 to 5, 58.94%. And number one, Raining Jamp, Muppets Take Manhattan with 66.17%. Is anything going to topple Muppets Take Manhattan?
Who knows? We'll see. This might be the one.
This might be.
This could be.
I doubt it, but let's see. Because just start off. Oh, so we're going to start the category. Then at the end, you will add a category. And after that, it will become canon. And then we'll be using that category for every movie.
Every
thereafter.
Movie henceforth will be scored
until
with that.
Until we get sick of them and we do some grand culling of the category.
Some sort of culling in the herd, as it were.
Episode 100. All right. So our first category for Midnight Madness, homoeroticism, 0 to 100. How homoerotic is Midnight Madness?
I'm going to give it an 80.
An 80?
Okay.
There's a lot of, and it's not intentional homoeroticism.
Which is the best kind.
Right.
Unintentional.
But
sure.
There's a lot of, purely because of the fashion of 1980.
Yes.
There's a lot of like guys in
the half shirts.
Yeah, half shirts, cut off shirts, short shorts, tight lapped pants.
Sure.
You know, there's tucked in t-shirts. Yep. There's just a lot of body hugging of clothing.
Yeah.
Unforgiving outfit wardrobes back
right.
then.
Right. And then on the female side, that roller skating twin duo always looking for a three-way with Leon, you know. They're always like stroking his head and, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of...
Why do you think they were attracted to Leon? Because Leon is like this... nerd, yeah. I think it's safe to say.
Sure. In this movie, yes.
But he lives in like a kind of a shitty apartment.
Right.
He doesn't seem to have anything really going for
him. He paid them.
Oh.
Disney.
That's the madness of Midnight Madness, I guess.
They love strategy boards.
Yeah, I think they love his,
his mind.
They love his mind, his game.
Sure.
It's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Sure.
So you're giving it an 80 for Home Alone?
Wow. Yeah.
Pretty high.
Yeah, I think it definitely has a lot of that. There's a lot of, I mean, you said it all. Like the wardrobe is very like form fitting. There's nothing intentional about it. I'm not going to give it quite so high as an 80. That does seem a little high to me. I'll give it a 65.
65. I don't know. I mean, the clothes, sure. But then we had like Sleepaway Camp, which like triples down on all of that.
Gotcha.
There's like, you know, shirts cut up to their nipples practically. But it is like the clothes are pretty, they don't leave much to the imagination, I would say. But is that intentional? No. I'll give it a 50.
All right. Okay.
I'll take it.
Average of 65. All right. Okay. Next category. Actual gay characters on 0 to 100.
I'm going to give it a 35.
35. Okay.
It's never addressed, but sure. I think it's pretty clear that all the chicks on the red team are
gay. Think that's definitely, say that's, if you were to make it today, that would definitely be like, the
it
lesbian
would,
team.
It would be addressed, yeah.
Yeah. It'd be Kristen Stewart.
I like those two twins who, like, in watching it, you're like, they're very much like Akbar and Jeff from the Life in Hell series. Like, I'm not sure if they're sisters or lovers. Like,
yeah,
it's one
knows?
Or the other.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Right.
Are they murderers?
Whatever their relationship is,
it's weird.
Are they
one person next to a mirror?
Yeah. Exactly. It could have been a Norbit situation where it was one actress.
They also appeared in the Gong Show, those two ladies.
I saw that. I didn't know there was a Gong Show movie.
Apparently, you know, maybe we'll do it next week.
Actual gay characters. I'm trying to think, do we think any of the guys were gay? I'm sure someone on the green team turned out to be gay.
I feel like...
You're sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Turned out
they play
to
grab
be.
Ass a couple times, I think, on that team.
Right. Emilio,
Emilio
and Barf have a
they
closeness.
Emilio and Barf.
I wouldn't be surprised if Marvin, the driver of the yellow team, ended up coming
possibly.
Out to his friends.
Sure, I could see that.
He's the most wistful one. He leans back, looks up at the stars.
He's
and
very earnest and very androgynous.
He's very into his Jeep.
Yeah.
That was his
nothing
his baby.
Gayer than loving
I'll give it a 35 as well. I think that seems like a fair score.
I mean, I would need someone to actually express, be labeled as gay.
Same sex attraction
for the red team.
Okay, you said that, but when we talked Muppets Take Manhattan, you were insistent
Bert and
Ernie.
Hey, I only gave Muppets Take Manhattan a 15.
Okay.
So, let the record show.
Didn't you look up the redheaded woman to see if she was gay in real life?
I did.
She reads so gay and
I know.
Her characters.
I know. You know, I'm going to give it the same as Muppets Take Manhattan. I'll give it a 15.
Okay.
That's
right.
The same as Bert. That's the same
as Bert
and
Ernie. I'll take it.
All right. Fair enough. Fair.
That's a compliment.
I think so. There's no higher compliment
team.
Than being. Okay. Here we go. Next category. Camp factor. 0 to 100.
100. In fact, in the spirit of camp, I'll give it 150.
Well, we can't do that.
Mark won't accept that, unfortunately. It's been tried
That's
before.
Not how percentages should work. I mean, any movie that features the voice of Piglet.
That's true. Yeah,
that'd be campy.
He also was the racist in A Raisin in the Sun.
Oh,
that's cool. Now that is a resume.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much camp in this.
It's like
the
it's,
two skateboarding ladies, the opening the scene two, alone,
yeah,
roller skating.
Even
yeah,
before
yeah.
that, the way the title's presented, it's like a daytime shot of LA and then
yeah. title like it's very like Batman
it's
almost.
So weird
yeah.
saying the title Midnight Madness over like a bright blue sky.
Right. Well, it turns dark all of a sudden
That's
when
true.
The title mm-hmm. comes on. Yeah.
That's the madness.
That's the madness.
That's the madness.
Can you believe the sun went down
what?
Behind the hills?
So quickly. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 98.
All right.
This is wild. I do believe this is a campy movie. Is it the campiest? There's a little too much earnestness about my brother doesn't love me. So,
but you need that in a long movie.
In a
you
long
need a little
film.
Bit. You need a break from yeah.
I've never.
And the way those scenes are acted are campy. Like,
it's very.
He's always trying to ruin everything.
Yeah, the underscoring. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
right.
Even if this is in a different language, you know everything that was happening because of that music.
It tells you before they even say their line.
I'm gonna give it a 70.
Okay.
70. Okay, that seems very conservative.
What are you talking about? I gave Tourist Trap an 80. This is not campier than Tourist Trap. That had singing mannequins.
Okay, all
so
right.
So I have to have... This is 89.33, though. They're pretty good.
Okay.
All right, next category. Makeover montage, 0 to 100.
It's low.
I don't think there is one.
No, yeah. But there. I'm going to give it a 10 just because Flinch has a gradual makeover throughout the movie that culminates with him. Like, you know, he's like he one piece at a time. He takes his tie off. He takes his
oh,
jacket
right.
off.
That's
he unbuttons
true.
His shirt. He gets more confident.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, he's Casanova.
Yeah. he's carjacks a woman. That's the most confident
yeah,
thing
that's
you can
true.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She loves it.
Right.
She just giggles
clearly
her way
because
through
she's
it.
Giggling uncomfortably. Yeah. That means she
and looking at a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give it a 10 for that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'll give it a 12 because in addition to that, Michael J. Fox eventually takes on assumes the white. Excuse me, the yellow.
The yellow
sweatshirt.
These are not montages we're talking about. These are long, protracted changes.
Hey, a montage can have.
But they're all,
several
there's also a little bit of montage factor in the movie. There's some scenes that are shown in like overlays of mm-hmm. them looking.
The
at
first
clues
clue. That's actually
and,
very like clever. I
yeah.
thought that was very sort of well done.
Which one?
The very first clue when they all have the clue and they're all and you cut to like this group is like we figured out this part and then they're like I ask a question and then
they
it cuts to the next group and
sentence.
They like answer it and
but there's a lot of like showing the cars driving at the same and cutting from this to that to
mm-hmm.
that to like you know pass the time it's mm-hmm. it's lame it's
yeah.
a ten, it's getting a 10 from me
yeah. I'll give it a five
okay.
Next category over the top wardrobe
yeah
0
yeah.
to 100
I'll give it an 85.
An 80? What's 100?
People wearing syrup as clothing. I'll say 80.
But it's not just
I'll
that. There's
it's
also Paul Rubens as the cowboy.
That's
at
right.
The, there's the woman with the hug me necklace. She looks like she's stepped out of Clue.
German Clue. Clow.
Exactly.
Clow.
Right. What else? Yeah, I mean, it's very 70s. So if you want to give it that. I think even like those roller skating girls up top, that one girl, she somehow makes, she has like a pink overall thing with a red shirt work somehow. I don't know
she
how for
it
that.
Off.
Yeah,
give it to
a
her.
Rugby shirt under a pink overalls with like
knee-high
tube socks
yep.
and roller skates. Just so good. And like the, I love the factor of like game control, game master.
That. I love all the old people in Leon's like, who
in
are like,
pajamas.
All their like,
they,
their pajamas
they
and their robes.
Like,
and
like sixth graders putting on a skit show
yes,
at camp.
Absolutely.
Like everyone's in a shower cap.
Yeah.
Or a, yeah. The cops wear sunglasses inside and
yep.
smoke cigars in the elevator. Like, it's so over the top to
it's
me.
Ridiculous,
it's
ridiculous, yeah.
It's not grounded in reality.
Yeah, it's very sketch comedy
yeah.
across the board.
So, yeah, I'll say 80.
I'm going to say 85.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a 40.
Okay.
To me, it was just of the time, like, that didn't seem crazy to me. It's just like, yeah, that is what people wore back then.
Right.
It didn't seem like crazy over the top to me.
Yeah, people go out in
but
public
they,
in nightgowns
but I thought they
and shower
did all because
cap. It's
of
1980.
The, because of the tone of the movie, though, they were very much like, all right, because also the thing, too, this movie, it's crazy. It's like, I feel like every 10 minutes, they introduce three new characters.
Right.
So they have to be like, you have
sure.
to look at them and be like, that person's a nerd. That person's a this. So every costume was like the
right.
ultimate purist
matching
version of that.
Matching horn rim glasses.
Yes.
And the, yeah.
They did say every, at least one member on every team is wearing a pair of Converse All-Stars.
Oh. Mm. Was it a sponsor deal or was that
I
just
don't
a
know.
Fun fact? Yeah.
just a fun fact. Thanks, IMDb trivia.
You're really making this movie more and more interesting. Yeah. Now I want to watch it again.
20 more times.
There'll always be like someone on Twitter though that always point out like the worst IMDb trivia is like, this person's this at one point in the scene, like Carl says the name Bruce. Later on, he would appear in a movie with Batman. It's like, well, that's not trivia. That's like just you're pulling that out of your ass.
That's right. A very pedestrian coincidence.
Right. This person has red strings going from each Polaroid of every movie.
Does this take place in the Batman universe? No!
There's got to be a connection.
All right, next category. Does it hold up? 0 to 100.
It's not.
No, there's a lot of problematic stuff in this movie.
Yeah. This is a low score. It's not like, it's not.
Weirdly, the puzzles hold up.
The puzzles hold up.
But they're just like classic puzzles.
It's so sexist. It's so sizist.
Yes.
There's like 5,000 fat jokes that aren't even jokes. Right.
Yeah.
Or like Harold's on a diet and then at the end he breaks. Like he can't go 2 hours without eating and his break is he grabs handfuls from the buffet.
But even like before he goes on the diet, he's constantly like shoving like chips in his mouth or like Skittles. Just like he's just a monster.
He's a boorish oaf.
Right. And he's not that overweight. It's like you would expect him to be Jabba the Hutt and not mobile for how he eats. It's like, yeah, he's like 30 pounds overweight. He's kind of a big bone guy. You gotta do this to keep up that weight.
And the hero of the movie doesn't want to let the guy in the tux go out. They see his date and she's just like nice looking girl with braces.
Right.
And they're like, no.
Yeah, trust me, you'll thank me in the morning.
Yeah.
And then they never tell her, they don't give her an excuse. They just leave out the back door.
Yeah, it's, but it's also not even the back door. It's like
the side door.
So it's like they go out in a different, into the same hallway.
She's trying to figure it out.
Right. She just sees them.
Right.
Yeah.
She's like, just bring her along.
There is a moment that made me almost spit my drink out last night where the old woman calls the black officer an ape.
Yeah, there's that. That happens.
Yeah.
There's a moment in the beginning where the mean guy is yelling at his maid and he's like speaking in like pigeon Spanish.
Like, yeah. Clino upo meso. Harold, stop teasing the maid. It's really bad. And the one Latino character is Blade on the blue team who doesn't speak and just sharpens his knife the whole time. He does use it for good, trying to fix the computer.
Sure. That computer too, though. That's something like not even today a computer could be as good as that computer.
Yeah, let me just punch in this clue.
Punch in the clue and he's like, oh, you need this. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, Google would never come up with that answer. I'm going to give it a 5.
5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 6. Just because.
Thanks, John.
I'm going to give it a 5 as well. This gives it an average of 5.33. This is current our lowest scoring category. And does it hold? The next lowest scoring is Berserk with 16.67. So that has triple.
That's very low.
Pretty low. And then the next.
But I think you could rewrite this and pretty easily fix all of those things.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what's so awful about it. Right. It's so unnecessary.
Right.
It doesn't
serve
anything.
In any way. Right.
And it's so egregious. It happens over and over and over.
Even like it's a mad world is probably less problematic than this.
Very much so.
Although I haven't seen Rat Race in a long time, so I don't know how that holds up.
And when's the last time you watched Mad?
Years.
Yeah. I'm curious. I haven't seen that since like middle school.
Well, it's 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had a double VHS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and Titanic.
Two tapes.
That's how you know they were important films. It's two tapes. It's got to be good.
It's right there in Lawrence of Arabia.
You're right.
All right. Next category, drag queen inspiration.
Yeah. I think those roller skating
those girls,
chicks would
those
make a
pretty,
great
if I went
drag
to a drag show
group.
And opened with those two girls, I would lose my mind.
With the theme song,
yes,
right? And like handing out envelopes with instructions.
Primary colored envelopes, yes, absolutely.
I'm going to give it a 70.
70!
I'm trying to think what other looks you could take from this.
The one thing, the sorority girls, when they're hosting their little party,
mm-hmm.
the two twins have those big floppy hats.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Those... And those like lacy dresses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I felt them like creepy. I almost feel those
they
two
are,
like,
they are. They do make you uncomfortable.
There's something very unsettling about them. They never speak. They just giggle. Yeah, it's
they giggle
so
like
weird.
Bats.
Yeah, well, they didn't sonar our location. They don't know where they're going.
Oh, it makes sense now. I got to show more compassion.
Yeah. They're just trying to make their way through the world. Literally make
it their does hold up. Hold on.
120.
I do think the matchiness of the sweatshirts and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but it's not really drag queen, but there is something so costumey about it. But that's a different category.
That's a different category.
Yeah.
What category? What did you give it? What score did you
give? I gave it a 70.
I think I'll go 70 as well. That feels about right. It feels like there's enough looks that you could be like, oh my God, you're doing Midnight Madness.
Mm-hmm. What world are you talking about?
We go to different drag shows, I guess.
I got a 25. Because okay. This is just like all JCPenney clothes, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. We find inspiration in different places.
That's true. Give it an average of 55. Okay. Better than the faculty. I got 36.67.
To get over.
Yeah. All right, next category. I think you're going to do very well here. Caper music.
I mean,
100. There's like long sections of this that play out mm-hmm. plot-driven scenes with no dialogue. Yeah. Or like that long bit when Harold's being punished and it's like his dad tells him to get in his office and it's a good 40 seconds before he gets in there because he's like, dun, 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 yeah. dun, 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 bum, bottom. Boom. Boom, boom. Yeah.
I always like how tuba equals fatso.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, how
we all
else?
We get that shorthand.
Yeah. How else will you get a fat joke in between the fat jokes?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's taking a break from the fat jokes with another fat joke.
That's right. Rest the game with a sledgehammer.
I won't give it 100 just because 100 was Mission Impossible. And I feel like that's also like iconic. So I will give this I'll give it a 95 for caper music.
95. I will also give it a 95.
Oh,
it's all caper music. Give an average of 96.67, tying it with Mission Impossible Fallout.
All righty.
For number one in caper music, followed only by Beetlejuice with 93.33.
All righty.
Next category, teamwork on a scale of 0 to 100. How much?
You would think I would say 100 because it's a movie about teamwork.
Sure.
But there is a shocking amount of actual teams not working together. Like people calling each other's ideas dumb and people fighting.
Right. The hero, David Nunn, ignores
He's an asshole.
Yeah, he's not a good person.
He's not doing any emotional labor in this relationship. He never says, I'm sorry.
No. He just pulls up and then acts like their idea. Like they tell him he needs to go after his brother. He gets mad and leaves. And then he shows up 10 minutes later and goes, well, come on, you guys. What are you doing? Let's go get my brother. Like insults them for standing there when he took the car without asking that didn't belong to him. So
when you're like doing like the Odyssey game, like what would you like? What would be like your advice to like what are the like the qualities that make for like a winning, successful team, do you think?
I think listening to each other. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that shows early on is I would always try to include two copies of each clue so there weren't eight people huddled over one envelope. Mm-hmm. But still, you need to share the paper so people can see it. And you could see some teams would have like clear people who would snatch the thing away and go start solving it on a table or like be reading it without showing people what the pictures were or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's always a clear sign. And that wasn't a huge problem, but the thing I love to see is teams really sharing the
huddled around.
Yeah, uh-huh. Huddled around, making sure everyone can see, sharing the pieces in the box, you know.
Yeah.
So this movie, I'm going to give it an 85 for teamwork. I think there is good crossover teamwork in the end with
the white team and the red team.
Yeah, they share vehicles and they team up, and even though they're enemies.
And the meat wagon jocks, they're like almost the tightest team in the whole thing.
Yeah. They're a great team. And they compliment each other. And even when they think they're out of the race, like, I want to say, like, even though we didn't win, we had a really good game tonight, you know?
Well, they typically exist as a team.
Right.
Unlike the other groups.
Sure, they've been tested. Well, the nerds are like the
debate.
They're
a debate team.
That's true. That's true.
To no one in the audience when they're doing their debate in the movie.
Right.
There's nobody watching.
Right, except the jocks who are there to throw rotten vegetables at them.
But according to the school paper, they win.
That's true. They deflated
the jocks. Image, yeah.
John, what are you going to give this on teamwork?
I will give it I'm going to give it a 90.
90!
Yeah, I mean, it's all about teamwork. I do think ultimately the teams, despite their differences, do come together. I was curious, so with the Odyssey or any of the other versions you've done, have friendships ever sort of suffered because of your scavenger hunts?
I'm not privy to that info.
Okay.
But I have had there, I won't name names, but
not on mic anyway.
There was a year where two different people from a certain team like called out the same person in terms of being like, it was interesting to see a different side of so and so. Or like so and so really showed their colors, you know?
Wow.
I was like, oh. But yeah, I don't know. I
did an escape room once with people who've done the Odyssey, and at one point I was pushed out of the way so they could get a clue.
Wow.
I said, oh, what's this? And then he said, let me see. And then after that I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna browse this room and not engage. I'm just gonna look
get
at
some decor ideas.
Yeah. A lot of things from Pier 1.
Wow.
At the escape hotel.
Nice.
I'm gonna give this 85.
Okay.
Right there with you. Given an 86, we have a lot of high scoring teamwork movies. Number 100, all the across the board, Hoosiers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
God, that's one of my favorite movies.
Such a great movie.
Yeah.
Next category. How likely are you to recommend this to gay people on a scale of 0 to 100?
Oh, I mean, I recommend it to everybody.
No, just gay people.
Oh, just gay people? Like, zero.
Like, oh, you're gay? You've got to see Midnight Madness.
It'll change your whole world.
Is that the category? Is it because you're gay, you have to watch this? Or is it just...
How much do you think a gay person would appreciate it?
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, 100. Yeah.
When you recommend this movie to people, do you have any like caveats to it? Or just like, just got to watch it?
I mean, I'll say like, it doesn't hold up, but it's great to watch, you know? I'm 100. I make people watch this movie all the time. Does that count as recommending?
I would think sure. So. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, forcing someone is a sort of recommendation. If you want to live, you will sit here and watch this movie. I mean, there's nothing specifically gay about it. Although, as we were watching, Mark and I were watching it yesterday, the whole time I was like, we should just remake this with our friends.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard. Because I do think the structure of it actually is well done. It's just the comedy parts of it are like... so
horrendous.
Basic or so they're just either dumb or just like, whoa, that's wrong. But like the actual structure of it, I think is really like well thought out.
Yeah.
And like not,
and the template of solving clues is so attractive to me. It's like a mystery over and over and over. You get to watch, you get to kind of play along.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You
like,
know,
almost like Agatha Christie.
Right. Kind of. I watched with Jen last night and paused it. I was like, look at xylophones initially. Like, where are they headed? She's like, LAX, you know? So there's a fun play along aspect. We've gotten off topic. What was the category?
Right. How likely am I to recommend this to gay people? I'll give it a 70.
70. More like, wow, John, that's one of your highest.
Oh, yeah.
You're more likely to recommend this to gay people than the movie Smile. Which has a beauty pageant.
I think Smile is... Yeah, this has like an energy too. Although like it does drag a little bit than the third act, but still. I don't know. I enjoy it.
Great. I'm giving it a 35.
Okay.
there's endless reams of movies I would recommend before this one. Mm-hmm. But I do like the weird thing. I'd like the tone of it is so weird. And like the Disney aspects of it are interesting. Like the whole Leon's game board that takes up the whole wall of the apartment. That doesn't make any sense, but it's like so visually fun and exciting. And you just want to like play with it and look at it. And like the magnetic cars he has
that
on
are replicas of their
vehicles.
That one is like so. So, like, as a kid, I loved that. I was like, I just
this movie
play with that
also
board.
Seems like it's like designed to sell toys and like board games and stuff like that. Like,
oh, what a great board game that would be!
Yeah, it would be.
Man.
Look between the melons.
The board is boobs.
Look at this children's board game.
It sells a lot on Father's Day. That's weird.
Huh.
Yeah. Next category: how much felt is in this movie? 0 to 100.
Not very much. This was a specific one I was rewatching for last night. There's a lot of felt toys at the arcade.
The Little Herald.
The Little Herald, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The little doll they get from
I'm going to give it a 15.
Felt?
It's not 15? Felt, but it is a toy. But there's a lot of like
things that are
plush and felt.
I bet Pee Wee Herman's cowboy hat is felt.
Right.
I don't think he wears a cowboy hat.
Yeah, he does. He's a little cowboy. He's got that gun that dispenses the quarters.
I don't think he has a hat.
He's a cowboy,
on.
But he's not wearing a hat.
Because I remember okay, he, I has, right.
he has
like,
a, his very
part.
Specific hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, John. This is devastating.
There are some cowboy hats hanging on the wall in
thank
the
you.
Arcade.
Thank
yeah.
you.
That must be what you were
that
thinking.
That must be what
you
I was thinking
was
of. Yeah, yeah. I was in my mind sort of teamwork. Playing like a... yeah. I'll give it a 35.
35. Oh. I'll split the difference into 25. Given an average of 25.
Oh, wow. You really won that category.
There you go. Next category, facial hair.
I watched for this last night, too. I have a tally.
Very good. Wow. A tally. Oh,
wow.
Please. Yeah.
Reaching
please.
To her.
Okay. Oh, unfolding
she
a piece
brought
of
her
paper.
Notes. Okay.
I counted 7 examples of good facial hair.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
5 of not good, but, you know, like Leon's there. Is there. Just scruff and...
yeah, but I think it tells the story.
Great.
Yeah.
but there's like some good cop mustaches.
Yeah, a bunch of good cop mustaches.
The dad of the kid at the telescope has a great
right.
1980
yeah,
mustache. There's some disco facial hair. There's a guy who walks by in the beginning with a big bushy beard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Leon has his scruff. Armpit has a
armpit's
fun
a
little mustache goatee. Yeah.
Blade
has a great mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 60.
60.
I will give it a... I'm gonna have to go 35 on this one.
Okay.
Really?
I think there's like there's facial hair, recap? But there's nothing that's like
isn't Paul Rubens
that, like,
wearing facial hair on his head? Doesn't he have facial
You know what? You're right. I'll give it a 37.
37. You gave faculty yes. a 40 and that had nothing.
That's not true. Didn't John Stewart have a goatee in
oh,
there?
Oh, yeah, he had a goatee.
Yeah. yeah.
You give so. One goatee a yeah, higher okay, score than lots of handlebars.
I'll give it a 45. 45.
Wow, John.
Wow.
This is one time I'm saying you're too low. Ooh. I'm going to give it a 6. I'm honestly... 75.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
All right.
That was a great recap.
Oh, so you're giving points for homework. Okay.
Well, it jogged my memory. What can I say? Okay. Next category. Broken glass. 0 to 100.
There's a lot
there's
of broken
a
glass.
A lot of broken
one.
Glass.
Including that wonderful pitcher.
Beer?
Yeah, cheers.
That's
and all
amazing.
The pitchers
yeah.
break. One of there
like,
ever been glass
drink?
Pitchers. Yeah. Out of the broken glass. Like,
that's a bad idea.
I'm going to give it a 95.
95.
I will give it a 90.
90.
Because there was that. There was when they were in the conservatory when Armpit leans on the thing
oh,
and
yeah,
he knocks over some
breaks.
Glass. There's the fight at the
arcade.
There's a lot of glasses
oh,
broken.
Harold uses Barf's hand to break the glass of the fire extinguisher.
Right, that's right. There's a lot of... I mean, it's more porcelain, but when they're at the diner and they're trying to get the waitress to come
yep.
over, they're like throwing stuff. I'm sure some glasses broke then.
Oh yeah, the dropping all their dishes and the pickup truck goes over
that's
a cliff
right.
and
over
breaks
cliff?
Its windshield. I'm going to give it 100.
Wow,
there is so much broken glass in this. And in
take
the,
that, John Wick 3.
in the beginning at the sorority party, like they're
oh, right,
spraying
yes.
all their glasses away and like things are breaking. Yeah, 100.
That's true. All right.
I'll give it a 90.
Okay.
Nice.
John Wick 3 good. Is my...
That's his 100.
The glass on the computer screen breaks when
sure.
he throws the computer down. Yeah.
If the broken glass had played into the plot maybe a little more. You know,
we
like
just gave
Die
you like
Hard.
A dozen plot points.
Hey, I gave it the same score as you.
Okay.
What did you give 100 to?
He's going to give it to John Wick 3. Well,
so that's just in my head, like, that's the bar. Because that has, like, that amazing fight scene at the end in a glass... penthouse. Next category, male gaze. How is the male form molested by the camera?
It's not molested by the camera, but I could see people like in a cult following way.
Sure.
Like if this was playing at a bar, I could see people
being
cheering
like,
for shots. Yeah. Or just like, you know, like there's some like egregious belly shots.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's one of the guys in the green team who had jeans that we at one point
we
even like
sweatshirt that guy.
But he also had those jeans
cuts
that we were like, that's like
a bell bottom.
A Warren Davis.
Really tight across the
oh,
lap,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's
yeah.
that shot where he goes and leans against the blue van
yep.
and you mm-hmm. see a full weenus yeah. and stomach
the
exposure.
Thighs are like fully like on display. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm going to give it a 70.
70.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll give it a 75.
Wow. I think that was just the wardrobe doing that. I don't think the directors. Mm-hmm. I want to know, like, because, like, in Talented Mr. Ripley, you could tell the camera is like.
Gotcha.
Google. So, you know what I mean?
Maybe
I feel
I'm
like
misunderstanding the category.
It's okay. I want to see the director's intent behind it.
Okay. Then I'll knock mine down to a 6.
Okay.
You don't have to do
that. You don't have to.
All right, I'll say.
I'm giving it 25.
Okay. Great. You balanced mine for me.
Next category, angry phone hangups.
There's several.
There's a couple, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of back and forth with the woman keeps calling the cops.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And calling him a pervert.
Yeah, what did she think? He's
that
a pervert.
That moment was so funny. It seemed like they're like, just this one's your take. Do whatever you want. Like it's like they totally improvised and she couldn't think of something.
You pervert.
What's the worst thing to call somebody?
Right. Yeah. And then she was like gonna say something. She's like, oh wait, it's a Disney movie. Right. Hold on, let
You're
me see.
So right. She takes 20 seconds to find that P. Pervert. Yeah, I'll give it a 40.
40.
Yeah,
40 sounds right.
I agree with you. 40 sounds right.
Alrighty. 40s across the board.
40. There's, third place.
Oh. There's even a sassy phone hang up when Harold calls to your puzzles, your game's too easy. We'll see you at the finish line in about an hour. Sassy phone hang up.
Well, maybe that'll be your category.
Oh.
Okay, you're going to like this next category. Titular theme song.
100, baby.
Yeah, you got to give it 100.
Who sings that theme song? Do you know?
I wish me.
It is.
If only that information was available.
Only that information is available.
When
I think it is.
Midnight. Madness.
Donna Fine. F-E-I-N. Oh. Donna Fine.
Good for her. Yeah, you got to give it 100. There is absolutely a huge titular theme song. Yeah.
And it was this theme song was sampled in a rap song also called Midnight Madness.
It was?
Yep.
Why don't I know this?
Because you
gotta
haven't looked at the
it.
Trivia section of IMDb. That's why.
Next category, entrances with pizzazz.
There's a bunch.
Oh, bringing out the paper again.
The first notable one. Well, do we count like in the beginning, in the opening credits, the chicks roller skating around, enter into rooms on roller skates?
I mean,
I believe
entering an indoor room on roller skates is the definition of pizzazz.
Just the movie hasn't really started. You know, we don't. I don't know. Yeah, I was
I think
like
that counts.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
I would definitely count that.
So a bunch of those. The green team entering with the keg into the sorority and
party.
Just blasting them with beer is a big entrance.
Yes.
And then there's a lot of bursting in on Leon, the woman with the cops again.
Yes.
She has several burst ins.
Yes.
In her dumb nightgown.
Ellen Burstyn.
That's what I call her. Oh, the meat wagon pulling into the parking lot and knocking over boxes. There's always a runner of them going over a median or and then Blaylock enters a scene by spilling out of a beer tankard so yeah, I'm gonna give it a 60
after all that. 60.
Is that low?
I thought you were going to give it higher, yeah.
I'll give it an 80.
Give it an 80.
Yeah. 80.
I was going to give it a 75.
Great, yeah.
Your recaps are fantastic. They like
You're really making a case.
You're really making a case.
I'm also trying to be fair, and I don't know what the other ones
that.
Are, but yeah, but
that.
80, yeah.
The, right now, the highest is Beetlejuice with 88.33.
Yeah.
Okay, this might be a tough one. Non-traditional murder weapons.
I have a case to
make. Okay, let's hear it.
So there's no murder in this film.
No.
So this should get a 0, right? But it's not going to, because we all agree that a gun is a murder weapon.
That's
right?
True.
Pee-wee Herman in this movie
yes.
sidles up to them, points a real gun at them, and then puts it in their hand and shoots a roll of quarters into their hand. Mm-hmm. So it is a non-traditional murder weapon.
I get you. Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Also, there's a big fight with the guns that shoot racquetballs
and stuffed animals.
So I'm going to give it a 50.
50.
I will give it a 25 based on that.
All right.
Yeah, I'll give it 25. great case for that gun. Coin dispensing gun. Yeah.
You should be a lawyer. You're very good.
I can just do that, right?
Yeah.
Where
just
do
say
I
your
sign
wife.
Up?
Just put up a placard somewhere. You're fine.
Our next category, breath acting.
Lots. Mm-hmm. Especially from our young friend on the yellow team, Adam. Adam,
oh,
your
yeah.
brother.
That's true. She's very breathy.
I thought you'd never ask. She's very breathy, and she's often underscored by strings, which makes her breathier.
Yeah, that's true.
And her
elevator
whole
breathiness.
Character motivation is just to get this jerk to be nicer to his young brother.
And yeah, it's awful. And I hate that. Anyway, I hate that they set them up to be the heroes and to win.
Right.
And he's entirely unlikable and a bully, and then
yeah.
wins. And it's like, well, why is he any better than the blue team?
Right.
You know,
who did you want to win?
I love the green team. They're the nicest to each other.
They're the ones that I feel like set up to be the bullies to all the other teams. I feel
right.
like every other, because initially what happens in this movie, if you haven't seen it, is they're all invited to partake in this scavenger hunt, and they all say no, and then pretty much the green team pisses everyone off, and then they're like, yeah, we're gonna do it to beat them,
right?
Because they piss off the sorority girls, they piss off the nerds, don't really piss off the blue team or the yellow team so much. But
then during one, you kind of forget about that, because during mm-hmm. the race, the blue team is like out
villains.
And out
yeah,
villains
yeah.
to everyone, and mm-hmm. the green team doesn't do anything. They're just kind of oafs, like they
right.
make
right.
their own mistakes.
They're just
and
drunk the whole time,
yeah,
it seems
yeah.
like.
Yeah. The red and the white team, when they team up, like that would have been a clear good winner, because the red
right.
and the white team are both underdogs. They're both bullied by the other people in real
right.
life, and then they team up together. That would have been a great win, but they're not our
That's
protagonists.
Really a metaphor for class rebellion.
Yes.
It's kind of too bad they didn't do this movie like they did with Clue. Mm. We could have different endings.
Oh, made it funny?
Yeah. Or made it funny. Or had Tim Curry. Whatever,
yeah.
yeah.
Maybe a little Madden Con will kill ya.
Would it kill ya? Flames. What was the question?
Breath acting.
Breath acting.
Oh, there's also that whole scene when they're trying to jimmy the elevator thing, and they're all
right,
like, whispering
the,
to
yeah,
each
yeah.
other.
And I think you could also talk those red twins, and they're like,
oh, yeah.
It's a weird
giggle?
Breath work.
A very weird.
I'll give it a 50 for breath acting.
I'm going to give it a 65, because there's also a barf on the green team, like his sort of laugh, and I don't know.
Oh, and who's the guy on the red team who seems like deranged? I mean, on the blue team.
And
the blue team, the like really tall guy.
Barf. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's
right.
like, he seems like a danger to himself and others.
Yes. But boy, what comic relief when he's playing that piano.
Oh, so nice.
Oh, yeah, there's just like they play a heart and soul for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
The music swells. I'll give it a 50 for breath acting.
Okay.
Next category, mannequins.
There's a lot.
There's a lot.
Mannequins.
A surprising amount. They go to the wax museum.
Oh, right.
And actually have a lot of interactions with the mannequins, including what a comedic bit when Armpit pulls the arm off of the mannequin and is using it as a back scratcher and a head scratcher.
Madame Leona is a mannequin
sure. created in the likeness of our host, Leon.
That is integral to the plot.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a mannequin when they go into into the piano museum. There's like a mannequin of an old timey guy playing a piano, like an 1800s saloon type
game. In the arcade, there's a mannequin shooting things.
Right. It gets in on the action with his like six shooter. There's a couple in the arcade. Oh, yeah. The Madame Leona as well. Yeah. I'm going to give it a 70.
70.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 70 as well.
I'll give it a 70. Sure. Why not?
Okay.
Number two for mannequins. Number one, tourist
mannequin.
Trap. All right. Next category, dramatic lighting.
Oh.
Hmm.
There's quite a bit. Does it have to be that it's dramatic? I don't need to overthink this. Well, there's like...
Don't overthink it.
Because there's, just as I picture it in my head, it's at night and there's like scenes with them huddled in cars around the computer screen or around the, you know, so there's a lot of different lightscapes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll give it a 40.
40.
It doesn't really.
Yeah, the lighting is more, it's pretty perfunctory.
It's tangential.
Yeah. I'll give it a 35.
35. gonna give it a 20.
Okay.
It looked like a TV movie to me.
Yeah, I don't feel like any DP was making choices with the lighting.
No, right,
like,
right. Yeah. This'll do.
we can see everything.
We can see them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next category. Strident women.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the red team.
Red team.
Red team is, might as well call them strident women.
I mean, right. Homegirl.
The villain, the woman, the old lady. The old lady.
Oh,
Leon.
Yeah.
Who
would totally.
Say is like, she's the landlord of where Leon, the game master,
and her
lives.
Name is Mrs. Grim House. the curmudgeonly landlord is Grim House.
Dickensian almost.
Yes. Yeah. And our girl with the red hair on the red team decks a tow truck guy.
She's great.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 95.
I'm gonna give it an 85.
85. I'll give it a 75.
Okay.
All right.
That's the second. That's higher than the faculty.
Okay.
Always my bar.
Always your bar. Not as much as Sleepaway Camp though. All right. Next category: fun fonts.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah, you're wearing one right
you're
now.
You're wearing That's one. Right. They're wearing a shirt that is the same, an homage to the movie.
An homage.
There's also the opening title. The
opening
title is
yes.
Very fun.
Very fun. Very wacky.
The Madame Leona font, I think, is fun.
Very fun. There's some good stripped down simplicity with like some typewriter font,
Access
Atari. Oh, that too.
Yeah.
But even on the typed clues, like it's like you can tell it was made with an actual typewriter, which I appreciate. some Cooperville on the girls' shirts, some iron on block letters. Yeah, I'll give it an 85.
85.
Yeah, I'm going to go 80 with it.
80. You know what? I think 80 is just about right. Given an 81.67, currently number one in fun fonts. Oh, there's only been two, but number two is the faculty with 80.
Okay.
All right. So now, Susie Barrett,
yes.
What category would you like to add to our canon?
Cheerworthy cameos.
Cheerworthy cameos.
Like if this was on in a bar.
Gotcha.
And the person
so-and-so
suddenly
appeared.
Yeah. And I think Paul Rubens, pre-Pee-wee Paul Rubens.
Oh, very good.
That's a good one.
Who's clearly like trying out the beginnings of his Pee-wee character in this.
Right,
it's not quite Pee-wee, but it's getting there.
It's his brother.
Yeah. He's sandboxing Pee-wee Herman. But yeah, he comes late enough in the movie where it's, and he's only in that one location.
That's true.
So yeah.
I think you could also give it to some of the older people.
Yeah.
Piglet.
Like, Piglet. And also the old lady. She was the Fruit of the Loom commercial lady.
Oh, funny.
You think people would cheer for her?
I would.
For the Loom Lady!
Eddie Deason might get some love. Like
Is he a cameo, though?
That's not a cameo,
he's not a cameo,
though.
That's true. But yeah, I'm going to give it 100 just for the Pee-wee.
I mean, it's hard to
be a great one.
Especially because I feel like those are few and far between. It's like, what, this and Batman Returns?
Right. I say, having not seen that film.
He plays the Penguin's father.
Oh.
Yeah, I will give this a 90.
I mean, yeah, I feel it. I'll give it 95.
Okay.
For you, John.
Whoa, wow. You really put me in my place.
Yeah, because I think anytime you see a non-Pee-wee Paul Rubens, you got to shout to the raptor.
You got to savor it.
You got to savor it. All right. So we are now in the bonus points round.
So these are things that are sort of more binary, like yes or no. There's
right.
no grade of it, you know, level of it necessarily.
All right. Straight actors playing gay roles, -5% each instance.
I don't think
really happen.
Yeah.
So no, it does not get penalized for this one.
No penalty. All right. Positive portrayal of homosexuality, +15%.
You could make a long-winded case that the red team does that, but they don't
self-identify as.
Yeah.
Which also to me is like a great thing for back then. It's like they're not made fun of, but they're not saying, it's like they don't need to,
right.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but because they don't say it, you're like, well, was that just an accident? Was
right.
this just
right.
like,
cause she does end up with like Eddie Deason at the end.
The one girl does,
the
but
one girl
like
does.
The redhead reads.
Yes.
So
very much so.
And she's never out in the film. So it's like, okay, mm-hmm. is that, is she closeted in this, or is it just a gay actor playing a straight character
doing her
and she
best.
Can't get rid of her gay for the movie, you know? So I can't say either way.
Yeah, I think
we gotta give it a zero.
And
then finally, negative 50% if this is the movie Cruising.
This is not the movie Cruising.
Oh, thank
so it does
God.
Not
okay,
get
great.
Penalized 50% of its points.
All right. So after we tabulate the results out of a possible 2,450 points, Midnight Madness has scored 1,415.33, giving it a percentage of 57.77%, making it the third gayest movie of all time. Not as gay as 9 to 5, but gayer than Beetlejuice.
That's pretty good.
That's Catherine O'Hara. Yeah. That is no easy feat.
Wow. I'll take it.
Great
job.
That seems fair. It didn't seem like it should beat 9 to 5 or Muppets Take Manhattan.
No.
But there's definitely like a queer spirit to it.
100%. There's a queer it.
A queer it?
It has queer it. Yes, it do. You're dumbfounded by this.
I'm dumbfounded. I'm shocked. I'm a little upset at Beetlejuice and Scream and Sleepaway Camp and Suspiria. But that's not the point. I trust in the system.
And there were several categories you gave higher scores than
I
did.
Score too,
I know. I felt like I was tough but fair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also glad that there are still shakeups happening. That's the lifeblood of this show.
Yeah.
You know, shakeups. And also the three gayest movies are Muppets Take Manhattan, 9 to 5, Midnight Madness. These are easily toppled, I feel.
Yep.
We'll see.
We'll see if anyone is brave enough to bring in a gay movie.
Bringing one Mamma Mia movie. It's over. Well, Susie Barrett, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank
it's
you
been
so
an
much
absolute
for having
delight.
Me.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, pitch?
Man, you know, Just Roll With It is a fun show to watch if you have kids and if you don't have kids. Watch
Where is
one
it?
Episode. Disney Channel.
Disney Channel?
Yeah, or iTunes. The pilot is on YouTube.
Wow. I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Great. And please rate. John, we got anything to read?
Oh, I haven't checked. Do you have any reviews? You check that. Yep.
Yes, there's one from Phoenix Force. Said, didn't realize I needed this podcast. Well, thank you. Says, I love the host. I love the camp. I'm very into the rating system. I'm loving all of it.
Yay.
The fact that they are currently covering horror movies is wonderful. Well, we were, and it was. Thank you, Phoenix-Force. Jean Grey fan out there. Okay.
Oh, great.
So yeah, leave us a review and we'll read it on the air and mention your iTunes username, which probably does nothing for you.
Probably not at all.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @twooldqueens.
Or you can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com. We did get some email. It's spam. It's from Visual Chan. It just says, can I have an investment project with you? Best regard.
No, you can't, Visual Chan.
One regard.
One best regard.
The very best one. Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll think about it.
Think about it.
Well, that's it for Two Old Queens. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. Produced by Alex Arche. Music by Danny Cohen. Art by Connie Shin. See you next Wednesday. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're
you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.